T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, 5:10 here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Your 5 o'clock cash code word, bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E. Text it to 72881. You could win $1,000. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Tom's off today. I'm Joe Beamer. David is here. We're talking about the media backtracking two big stories in less than 4 days. The BuzzFeed, Michael Cohen was told to lie by President Trump. That diffused by the Mueller team, I guess you would say. And then this video that came out on Friday or Saturday of Catholic high school kids in MAGA hats, what it originally looked like, harassing Native Americans. The rest of that video came out. David watched it on the break. And
what I watched was the actual video that was shot by the black Israelites. They had a version. There was another bystander. The version that people saw that made it to CNN, that made folks backtrack, was a separate video. But the actual video, you know, shows that these kids are out there. They're being kids. There's a little dance that they do. It looked more like a, like you see those University of Utah does a dance before their football games where, you know, it's like a tribal. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing that. That's their school thing that they do before their sporting events. There's a black Israelite who is basically screaming things about slavery and these kids and taunting these kids. You won't do anything now. And this Nathan Phillips guy appears to take his group of indigenous folks, these Native American guys, and they walk into the crowd, and you can extrapolate that Nathan Phillips did that in a way to de-escalate what these black Israelites were trying to do, was instigate these kids into a fight. And then the kids are reacting to the music, and you could obviously see that some of those kids were, you know, again, they were being antagonized by the black Israelites. They were responding to the Native American guy by chanting the drum beat and doing Native American chants. But again, the story was manufactured to state that these kids surrounded a Native American. No mention of the black Israelites, no mention of what provoked the entire situation. And again, you had evidence right there. You just had to go to social media to get the entire story. That didn't play to the narrative. And the narrative is that everyone who wears a MAGA hat is a racist. That anyone who supports Donald Trump is a racist. And why do they use that term, Joe? They use that term because when you can start a debate with someone and automatically put them in a box, you're cutting off any future debate.
Yep.
If I'm talking to someone and you're like, "Well, you're a pedophile. You're a homophobe. You hate women. You're Brett Kavanaugh. You drink beer and abuse women. You're a rapist. You're a racist. All this stuff." You're trying to kill any future of any response of credibility. It's a tactic that's been used for a very long time, and usually that's done with political ideologues. It should not be done by the media. And CNN, MSNBC, ABC News, all of the mainstream media picked up on the fact that these kids were attacking a poor Vietnam veteran, and none of that is true. These kids were acting like kids. Some of the behavior was something that I wouldn't be very proud of, but I'm certainly not going to defend black Israelites. They are the KKK of the other side. These are what they are espousing and screaming is what I would consider on a par with any Klan member They're just a different color skin.
Yeah, and the complete opposite message of what we are celebrating today, Martin Luther King Day.
Right, exactly. And it, to me, when you look at what Dr. King's message was, besides talking about serving other people and serving the country, his message of equality, that wasn't a black message. No. That was an American message. Dr. King is not a leader of African Americans. He's an American institution. He's a part of the Republic. This was about healing the country. It wasn't about doing anything for a special group. Now, obviously, that group that he was representing was much maligned, did not have the rights that they have today, was disrespected, had government and the Supreme Court of the United States say that they weren't even human. They were subhuman. But Dr. King had an American message. It was about healing the country through love. And only when we have love, only when we treat other people as we want to be treated, are we going to be able to treat all ethnicities the same. And the message has been absolutely hijacked. Even today, I'm hearing from, you know, Dr. King's relatives that are making this about Trump, making this about the current situation in the world. It's vulgar. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, it's not what he stood for. And these people doing it in his name are actually taking away from what his real message was. And like you said, it wasn't a black or white thing. It was, don't be judged on the color of your skin. No one should be judged on the color of their skin, on their appearance. It should be by your content of character. And that's what we are trying to get to the point of. And unfortunately, like you said, it's been hijacked by one side of the aisle against the other.
And the great tragedy is that the founding fathers had an opportunity to write this in. Slavery was something that was, what Thomas Jefferson said, slavery was like holding a wolf by the ear, right? You were afraid to let it go because you didn't know what was going to happen. The founding fathers knew exactly the problem. No one felt comfortable when this country was founded with slavery still being in place. And it eventually bit us in the late 1850s. It brought us to a civil war and Reconstruction, very clumsily handled by the Johnson administration, led to his impeachment, the first president to be impeached, and brought us all the way to, well, actually, he was one vote from impeachment, Johnson?
Yes.
That's what it was. He wasn't removed from office. He was one vote from, but Johnson handled that horribly. Reconstruction led to, you know, Jim Crow era laws bringing us back to a Dixiecrat mentality. And Dr. King inherited that. Now, Malcolm X was out there doing his thing. And if you listen to Malcolm X at the end of his life, you see a lot of similarity to what Dr. King was preaching. Dr. King's message of love, Malcolm X was a very different version of that message, but he spoke for a lot of anger in the African-American community. I don't know, you know, you talk about violence and when violence is necessary. I don't know if Malcolm X was off base by saying this love strategy isn't working. We want results now. It takes time. It takes patience. And a lot of people, they'd been dealing with this for 200 years. But it was the message of Christ. It was the message of love. It was the message of equality. But it was for the country. It wasn't for any specialized group. It was saying this is something we all have to embrace. Or we're all going to suffer for it.
Yeah, the country is better when we're all united. And what a great message for right now.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know if we've been more ever. I don't know if there's been a time that we have been more polarized than we are right now.
And do you see that getting any better?
Not like, a chance in hell because it's an advantage. It's an advantage. This is something that's used as political capital now. Divisiveness is what. Why isn't Nancy? But listen. When you look at the big government shutdown, it's a non-starter. What the President of the United States gave, $800 million in aid, $805 million in more enhanced drug interdiction, more Border Patrol, 2,700 Border Patrol agents, 75 federal judges. This is what the Democrats asked for 3 weeks ago.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? It's a non-starter. It's what you said, the reason why you didn't want a wall. You wanted a wall 3 years ago. Again, everyone is looking at 2020, and this is a base you have to listen to. Trump's listening to his base. Pelosi's listening to her base. But at the end of the day, this is an advantage. Ideologues love division. That's how you command and conquer.
The country divided is exactly what Washington wants right now. And did you see Senator Gillibrand said today
that Senator Gillibrand? You mean the young mother?
Yes.
Because as a young mom, I'm going to fight for other people's kids as hard.
As a young mom, 52 years old.
The young 52-year-old mom, she said that her past beliefs on immigration weren't kind. That was what she said when she was asked, well, you know, a few years ago, you said we needed a physical barrier on the border. Well, that wasn't kind.
Well, she also wanted to abolish ICE not even 6 months ago. Yeah. On a day like today, I would love to abolish ICE.
That's right.
It's too cold out there.
Hey, David, what do you say we go back to the phones?
Sounds like a plan, Joe.
All right. Lou in Williamsville has been holding on. Lou, the floor is yours.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So I have a couple points I want to say. Your last caller, Drew, I don't know what video he watched. I watched the one from the Black Hebrew Israelites that you watched as well, David. And I don't know what he saw. But, David, I want to ask you a question. And, you know, as one veteran to another, when I watched that and I watched Nathan Phillips approach those kids, in my head, after finding out he was a veteran, in my head I'm like, why are you going towards the kids? Turn around and go towards the guys that are causing the most attitude around here. That's
what you saw the Black Israelite video?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so they referred to him as their elder, and they've been to multiple rallies before. These guys like travel in the same groups. So, you know, I got the impression from the...
going in my head like, dude, you're a veteran. Wouldn't you go after the people that are being the biggest jerks here first and say, hey, calm down. Let's try to make this calm. That's what kind of bugged me a little bit with that whole entire situation.
Yeah, you know, first, Lou, thanks for your service. I don't even know. But then again, I've seen a lot of vets that protest in Arlington, too. You know, the Iraq veterans against the war were some of the most repugnant behavior I've ever seen at Arlington. You know, there just because you're a veteran doesn't mean that you're rational and that you really understand the way the world works. But it's a tribe like we have tribes everywhere else. And 99% of the people that I disagree with that are veterans, they still live their life by a compass. I don't know what his intention was, but it struck me from that video from the Black Israelite point of view that those guys were definitely knew each other and had worked together and they were on the same side.
Yeah, I agree, you know, but it was just still in my head. I'm like, dude, what are you doing going towards those kids?
Yeah, it was the whole thing was, only bad things can happen when you go towards a bunch of, you know, if we've learned anything from the Kavanaugh hearing,
yeah,
nothing is more dangerous than 15-year-old Catholic school kids.
Oh, yeah. My other point is this, with the whole thing with, you know, the media and everything else like that, you know what, after... Afghanistan and Iraq and how the media always portrayed the military personnel in this negative light, I've kind of given up on media. Like the only guy that I respect out of like even Rolling Stone was the guy that wrote Generation Kill, because he did an amazing job. He just sat down and talked with the guys and did.
Was that Evan Wright? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like after, like, because, you know, I would come home and everybody's like, oh, the war sounds so horrible, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you're not hearing the good stories we're doing over there.
Right.
I want to talk about that.
Well, exactly, because it doesn't push the narrative.
Yeah, and that still bothers me. And, you know, the other thing that really, you know, and my last point, and then I'm going to hang up and let you guys get to other callers, is the young mom. I really hope she runs for the presidency, not in 2020. I hope she runs in 2024. And my hope is that Mattis will run for 2024 and go up face-to-face with her and say, hey, by the way, you remember when you were the only no vote against me as being Secretary of Defense, and then everybody loved me as Secretary of Defense?
Right. You know, the problem is Mattis is a Democrat.
That.
What's yeah, Mattis is a Dem.
Well, even then, I would just still love to see.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. That was a ridiculous vote. Her record, by the way, she was endorsed New York 20 when she was a congresswoman, endorsed by the NRA, talked about farmers' rights, talked about all of the things that a populist candidate ran on. That was who she was when she was in Congress. I mean, talk about doing a 180. Normally, the 180 occurs over 20 years, doesn't occur over six.
Yeah. Like, when she was, like, the one no vote, I'm just sitting there going, like, God, why do I live in New York State and this woman is one of my representatives?
Yeah, it's pretty shameful.
In a day like today, I asked that looking at my representatives and looking out the window.
Totally agree. Well, once again, thank you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe when you drive home tonight.
Hey,
Appreciate it, Lou.
And thanks for your service, Lou.
Yeah,
Lou. All right. Back with Bowerly and Bellavia. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. David Bellavia in for David Bellavia. We 5:36 here at News Radio 930 WBEN. B2K with P. Diddy. Great jam from back in my elementary school days. That's when I, still listen to Top 40. We're talking about the media's backtrack on not only the BuzzFeed video, but also the Catholic kids going after Native Americans at the Native American rally proved to not be true. The video was not shown in its full context. And CNN still out there tweeting as if the story from 2 days ago is the right story. Taking your calls at 803-0930. Always a pleasure to hear from our buddy down in Texas. Terry, what's up?
Well, I'll tell you what. Typical Dems forward slash liberals, you know, the previous caller before the previous caller.
Drew.
Can't ask them a direct question and get a direct answer. You know what I mean? You just can't do it. They either bob and weave or sidestep it. You know, there's always something. They just can't answer a question directly. Bellavia kind of pinned them to the wall there, and he just, you know, that's what they do. But you know what I'm wondering is looking at the video and talking about what you guys are talking about, these people that go after, you know, whether somebody's wearing a MAGA hat or, you know, they figure out you're a Trump supporter or whatever, you know, case you may have, they're going after kids, first of all. So, you know, to be a veteran and to go after somebody like a child, you know, not a child, teenager, but, you know, you're going after a teenager. I mean, you don't score no points with me, first of all, just because you're a veteran. I mean, I kind of disagree with Bellavia a little bit in regards to the fact that, you know, to me there is a difference between a combat veteran and like a pogue, you know, which would be like office personnel. Obviously, everybody's, you know, substantial and relevant and necessary, but combat veterans have a different perspective on what war actually is. But nonetheless, to be a veteran anyway, you're supposed to be holding yourself to a higher standard. And if you're going to claim that title, you better be holding a higher standard than what everybody else is proclaiming, because that's how people, you're supposed to be looked up to. You know, you're going after teenagers. And I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. It's garbage. It really is. Whether he's a combat veteran or he isn't, doesn't really matter. But my thing is, why do they go after kids? How come every time I look on YouTube and I see somebody with a MAGA hat getting beat up or getting their hat snatched off their head or this, that, or the other? It looks like a weakling that they're going after. These people are cowards, man. I don't even have a MAGA hat because I don't want.
Sorry, Terry. Go ahead.
Just giving you a little extra bonus traffic footage there. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't even own a MAGA hat because I don't want the problems, you know. I'd rather spend my money on something else other than bail money. But I tell you what, I'll go buy a MAGA hat, and I'm not like a Billy Bad Blood or nothing like that. If you try to snatch a hat off me or bully me, somebody's going to the hospital or jail. That's the way I feel. I mean, and you run around bullying kids. My kids, they don't necessarily follow politics. I question them and quiz them just a little bit to see if they're at least, you know, knowledgeable of what's going on in the world. But, you know, if that were one of my kids, man, you better believe you're going to see me face to face. We're going to talk about it. And that ain't a threat to nobody. I'm above that kind of, you know, violence. I try to be a peace-first type of person. I try to be rational and common sense. But you approach me with that kind of violence or anybody that I'm associated with, man, we're going to talk about it. That's how I feel.
Well, listen, I mean, I think many people agree with you. You know, in the last few minutes here, we've got breaking news over Covington Catholic High School in Park Hills, Kentucky. This is the school that these Make America Great Again kids, this whole story is about, this Catholic school in Kentucky. Well, 10 years ago, they did what's called a blackout rally. You know, you've seen that with Midnight Madness when the college teams get together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they did a blackout rally where all the students were required to dress in black for a high school basketball game. And three kids in this picture are all in black makeup. And they put white smiley faces on their faces. And now, of course, the media, CNN is reporting, and the Daily Mail out of the UK, that these are taunts to African-American basketball players, that these kids are actually in blackface. Now, they're openly goading a black player from an opposing team. This happened in 2011. All right, so that's the shelf life of this story. No one seemed to be outraged about the blackface for 10 years, but now that we have a story where the media just got busted, now we're bringing this story up. And as you can see from this thing, if that's goading a black guy, that's a basketball player from another team that they're actually celebrating, and well, they're goading him because he's on the other team. When you look at this image of this kid in all black, it looks like anything you would see from a minstrel show, something that is outrageously, something socially unacceptable. But when you look at the larger photo of all these kids wearing black, it's three people, and they literally, everyone's wearing all black, and these kids aren't wearing shirts. They're wearing black on their face and on their body. Now, is it clumsy in 2019? Is it unacceptable? If the intent of wearing that black makeup was to make fun of black people, then it's absolutely without excuse. And the high school has a lot of questions to ask why this wasn't made, why they didn't make a priority of this 10 years ago. But if this is just, you know, kids that are trying to put black makeup on, you know, implying that there are no black kids at this school, which you can obviously see two African Americans on the basketball team that go to the Catholic school. I don't know, you know, again, but this is what they do. It's a pile on. Everything about this high school, just like Kavanaugh, we're going to hear about it. And just let me give you a little juxtaposition here. About 3 hours ago, Sarah Sanders, who's the press secretary of the White House, she tweeted out on Martin Luther King Day, "Today we honor a great American who gave his life to fight the wrong of racial inequality. Our country is better thanks to the inspiration and sacrifice, hashtag MLK Day." She's receiving backlash because she says that he gave his life for inequality, and all the media pundits and blue check marks are going after her because apparently he volunteered to be assassinated. Hey, you dumb blank. Mia Farrow, he dedicated his life. Mia Farrow didn't say that. Another person called her a derogatory term. But Mia Farrow said he dedicated his life to right the wrongs of racial inequality. He was murdered in Memphis at 39. He surely would have opposed the cruel and unjust policies of Donald Trump. Another person goes on to say he was killed. He was killed by the same type of people who continue to support Trump and attend his rallies with Confederate flags and MAGA hats. He didn't give his life, you stupid fool. It was taken from him by a white racist like your president. Shut up. You can't win. Yes. This is the game that they're playing. It is a race to outrage. It's a race to who can be the most upset, who can run around and say, Martin Luther King knew that his life was in jeopardy for what he was doing. He talked the day before he was shot about the fact that I might not get to the mountain. I might not get to the promised land. He was talking about Moses and the fact that he led the Israelites through the desert, and he knew that he was not going to get to the land of milk and honey. I might not get you to where we need to be. My life might be taken because that was a threat. I believe that Medgar Evers, I believe that Dr. King, all gave their life. They had every opportunity to stop doing what they were doing, shut up and go write books. They stayed in that fight knowing that they could have their house blown up, which happened to Dr. King, put a burning cross in their yard, happened to Dr. King, and eventually he was assassinated because of who he was and what he said. For Sarah Sanders to be attacked for saying something so beautiful on Martin Luther King Day just shows exactly what you are up against every single day. It is a ignorant group of folks that just want something to be outraged about, because in outrage, in protest, they find romance.
You're right. People go on Twitter. They go on Facebook. And their goal is not to, like you and I, see what's going on, see maybe a few pictures of friends with kids. They want to be able to go after someone. They want to find something that they can fake their outrage, right?
Exactly.
Because if anyone else said what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, I mean, like you said, it's right. I mean, Dr. King would go out in public knowing there were people out there that literally wanted him dead.
He had death threats every day. Yeah. There were bombs that didn't go off in his house. There was a bomb that did go off in his house. People set fire to his house. He knew everywhere he went, someone was eventually going to bring attention because, by the way, the guy who killed him, he was talking about, I'm going to kill Dr. Martin Luther King in prison. He was telling all of his friends, I'm going to kill this guy. I mean, to me, it cheapens the legacy of someone. You know, when you face the courage that it takes to face people that you know are going to come after you, it's easy to talk about. We read our history books. You know, we teach our kids about these great American heroes. But, you know, just like Abraham Lincoln knew that there was a very good chance that some Southern weirdo was going to put a bullet in his head. All these folks, they all put their lives on the line when they say things that the aggregate of people don't want to hear. It is controversy. It is sometimes violent. And I think it makes Dr. King's legacy more beautiful that he was willing to put his life on the line and give up his future so that the country could heal and the country could correct the sins of the past. And for Sarah Huckabee Sanders to be maligned for saying something so eloquent and sweet, it just shows you there is a divide in this country. Now, Texas Terry, he speaks for a lot of people that say, hey, I'm not going to play this game. They come at me, they get in my face, they're going to get a can full of kick butt. There's a lot of people that think like that. I don't want to go down that road, but at the same time, one side is not going to be a bully. One side isn't going to use social media and platforms to attack the other side. Donald Trump represents a lot of anger in the United States. That's why he's the president. And I'm sorry, but this is just not the way to heal a country. It's not the way to bring a country together. But everything you put out there, it's going to be twisted. It's going to be maligned. And even if the truth is on your side, Joe, it doesn't matter because they're going to report it the way they want.
Not at all. No, the truth is on your side. The truth is all over social media. And it's sad. You talk about the divide in this country and things like Twitter and Facebook are actually helping get us more divided and see really how far away we are at uniting the country. And some people, I mean, you have people out there, David, that won't talk to friends anymore because of their political opinion. They've abandoned family members because of their political opinion. If that's happening within families, just imagine what's going on, you know, with the rest of the country. I mean, you have families that won't talk to, we're not talking about extended family, immediate family members won't talk to each other because of just a political divide. And that's exactly what's going on in this country.
Joe, it's, and you know, especially when you talk about, you know, it's not, it can't be popular to be your age and to see the world the way you see it.
No.
I mean, you're out there hanging out with people all the time, and as soon as they find out what you do or what you said on the radio or anything else, you're not supposed to think. And again, what are we up against? I mean, how can we fight enemies of the United States? What are we even doing in the Middle East talking about, you know, fascist dictators and Islamist aggression? We're seeing it every single day. It's intimidation. I'm going to destroy your reputation. I'm going to destroy you as a person because you dare disagree. I mean, what the hell? Why do we have people in Arlington Cemetery right now? They fought against that ideology in Europe. They fought against that ideology in North Africa and in Asia and in the Middle East. And we see it every day. It's on our news. You can't think for yourself. You will fall in line and you will do as I say. And Benny Thompson from Mississippi, Democrat in the House of Representatives, he said on national television, walls work. Mr. President, a lot of people agree with you in the Democratic Party, but not Pelosi, and she's running this show. What are we supposed to do? That's scary.
I want to give you a take on people my age's political opinion. But David, you were saying being my age and having right of center on most things, belief right of center. You know, I grew up in New York State, right? So most of my friends growing up, when politics became a discussion or came up in discussion, I'm used to having disagreements and having civil conversations with people who disagree with me. Those same people now, the older we get, some of them still, we have nice conversations, but it seems like the majority of them, especially the last 4 or 5 years, they know where I stood. They've known where I've stood the entire time we've been friends, but now it's an issue. And now I'm the blind one, and now I'm the problem. And like I said, you got people unfriending you on Facebook, which is fine, who cares? But people who won't even talk to you, people who I considered to be friends of mine growing up, friends of mine in high school, who won't even respond to a simple text message just because of a little bit of a difference we have politically.
Yeah, I saw an ad for a college in central New York, and they had like a 20-year-old kid that ran for the assembly or legislature, and Cuca College was saying, oh, you know, this is our guy. And there was a picture of him with Chuck Schumer and him with all these other Democrats. And I thought to myself, you know, that would never happen if that was a conservative kid from that college and he had a picture with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Why the hell would any young person want to get into politics? Why would any young person today? Because if you're not a part of that, you know, sheep herd, if you're not a part of that, you know, group think mentality, you are not cool. You're not a part of the cool crowd. Alyssa Milano is going to run around and tweet what a fascist you are. Ocasio Cortez, she could say whatever she wants. How long before Red Dead Redemption 2 says you can't name your horse after her? Because we have to protect everything about her. She is a sacred part of Americana right now. But if a 29-year-old kid that was a conservative from Tennessee went to the House of Representatives, that's a racist, that's a bigot, that's someone that we don't want. And I'm telling you, it's not attractive to young people. It takes a special breed of young person to decide that they want to get involved. And that is the day we've lost the republic, when people stop saying there's no point in getting destroyed by social media if I decide to run for office. It's a horrible day.
Especially after 4 years in college. Let me tell you, now this, my personal experience, I went to a smaller college, so obviously the classes were smaller, but I remember freshman year at Madai College, the first media class I took, we had to watch Fahrenheit 9/11 and An Inconvenient Truth and Outfoxed. We had to watch those three documentaries. And then my opinion on it, I was told I had to see the professor after class because of my opinion on Inconvenient Truth. What did you learn? Well, I learned that there were some things not really backed up here that I could find refuted online.
I learned that, sir, you have no control over what you play in front of your... But again, if I played... Like, here's the thing I love. I could show graphic images of, a beheading video. I could show graphic images of what the Israeli government does when it drops a bomb. I could show... You put any aborted fetus on Facebook? Oh, my goodness. What the hell have you done?
Right.
What kind of a hate monger are you? When it comes to the issue of abortion, when it comes to anything that used to be a pillar of the right, of conservative ideology, that's gone. Another thing that's missing from Martin Luther King Day is Jesus Christ. But nobody wants to talk about Dr. King's religion, how Dr. King saw the world. Another thing a lot of people don't want to talk about is, how did we find out about Dr. King's private life? We found about Dr. King's private life because the government was illegally wiretapping him and using it to try to destroy his family. Stop talking about equality, or I'm going to play these tapes of all these different things. And after he died, he's not here to defend himself. We don't know what's true and what's untrue. Did he have a million affairs? Was he in relationships with other women outside of his spouse? We don't know. The man's dead. He can't even defend himself. And yet that was used against Dr. King. So it wasn't just physical violence. They did everything the left is doing today, they did to Dr. King. This was a part of his struggle. This was a part of the day. And the other thing is, he loved Jesus and he quoted the Bible all the time. The left doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, of course
that's
not.
Very uncomfortable.
That goes right against the the narrative, as you've been saying.
Just forget that part. He was a dentist? What kind of doctor was he?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, this was a deeply religious man who read scripture and believed it to be the truth. And every day gave a gospel, gave a lesson in prison. In prison, he was preaching. The man never stopped. He was on 24/7, and he did it for the country. No one owns Dr. King. He's an American treasure. It's not part of a race or a part of a special interest group.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. You got a break? All right. 5:57. All right. Hey, big game tonight. Virginia Tech, number 10 in the country, taking on number 11, UNC. Go Hokies.
We'll be back right after this quick break. It's Bowerly and Bellavia. Tom is off. Joe Beamer is in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.